This morning will be taken from the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd gathered about him, and he taught them. And as he passed on, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he sat at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came to call not the righteous, but sinners." How prompt are you at seeking medical help? We had an experience this week that some of you are familiar with our little granddaughter, Katie. She was in a fever. Lump was growing on her neck, and they took her to the doctor. The doctor said, "Well, let's give her some antibiotics." This was a week ago Friday. "And I'll draw some blood, we'll do some tests, and then we'll see." So they did that, and the blood test came back on Friday, but they couldn't find the doctor to get him to interpret the blood tests. And so on Monday, they set an appointment as early as possible to see the doctor, and the doctor said, "You know, I think that lump's getting bigger." Jessica and Chris agreed that they thought it was getting bigger and that her fever was not going away. She was still running close to 100. And so they said, "What do you think we need to do?" And he said, "Well, let's just watch it. Let's just see what happens." And they said, "No, we want to see a specialist." He said, "Okay, I've got someone that I can send you to in Pueblo. I don't know that you can get in. If you do get in, it'll be late this afternoon." And they said, "That's fine." So they got a 4 o'clock appointment to visit an ear, nose, and throat specialist. They went down to see him, and he said, "You know, this isn't normal." I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "I'm going to China, and I'm going to be in China until June the 10th. And I think what you ought to do is I think you ought to get an ultrasound just to look at this knot." He said, "I don't know that it's a cyst," but he said, "On June 10th, you come back into my office, and we'll see." And they said, "No. We're not waiting a month for this to run its course. We're going to go up to Memorial Hospital in Colorado Springs." He said, "Well, I don't think they'll admit you, but you can go up there." So they went to Colorado Springs with little Katie. And is Katie right at 6 months? Isn't that how old she is? Getting closer to 7 months. And they went to the emergency room, and the first nurse that saw them said, "Let me go talk with my head nurse." She went to her head nurse, and those two nurses went to a doctor. And within just a few hours, little Katie was undergoing surgery. They had done an MR scan, and it turned out to be an abscess. A lymph gland had abscessed. Doctor said it could have been as simple as a cold that put the infection there. It might have been a staph, but he said if it hadn't been tended to, it would have gotten larger. It eventually would have ruptured, and Katie would have died. Now, how quick are you to go to the doctor? Let me ask that again. Sometimes doctors are a little annoying, and they don't always get the diagnosis right. But when they do it right, isn't it grand? Isn't it good? Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I eat with tax collectors and sinners because those are the ones that are in the emergency room." As Chris and Jessica sat in the emergency room waiting to finalize the test, get an appointment or whatever the doctors think was necessary, they watched people coming in. There was a guy that came in that was kicked by a horse. There was a lady that came in that was in a lot of pain, needed some medications, she thought. There was a little boy that came in with popcorn up his nose. There were things that were very serious. There were things that weren't so, but everybody there felt like they needed to see a doctor. Jesus said, you want to ask me why I eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because they're the ones that need me. Do you need Jesus? Have you been to the great physician? Let's turn to an incident that took place in the Old Testament. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5. A man who had leprosy was in need of help. He assumed that no help was available until a little girl that he had in his possession, because she was a slave, informed him that help was available. He just needed to get back to Israel. Beginning with verse 1, 2 Kings 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. What a phrase, but he was a leper. How would that change your life? To come down with leprosy. That would be scary, wouldn't it? A disease that evidently deadens the nerves. It's some kind of viral infection, I believe, is the way that it's been described to me. That deadens the nerves to the point that you don't know when you cut yourself. You don't know when infections start. And what your skin basically does is it rots away many times, unbeknownst to you. It seems to be a disease that requires lots of physical attention, but it's more along the lines of changing dressing and keeping it clean and hoping that it will abate. And sometimes it does. But it was a disease of doom in this time. Anyone who had it simply accepted it. Naaman was a great captain, a man of valor, in good standing with his king, but he was a leper. You think he ever laid down at night and wondered, why is this happening to me? Do you think he ever thought, is there any way that I can overcome this? Don't you think he shared the same goals and dreams that we have? What would he do if he found out that there was a cure? Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little maid from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. This little girl who had been carried away captive was serving the wife of Naaman, and she simply said in passing, you know, if my master was in Israel, there would be hope. We've got a man there. He's a prophet of God, and he has the power to heal leprosy. What if you heard a child say that? Wouldn't you laugh? Wouldn't you say that's impossible? Wouldn't you say, no way, not Naaman? When he heard this, there was some hope. And so Naaman goes to the king of his own armies, the king of Syria. So Naaman went in and told his lord, thus and so spoke the maid from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 festal garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now, had the little girl said the king had the power? No. But in the king of Syria's mind, and this is Ben-Hadad, in Ben-Hadad's mind, the most powerful people in the country are the kings. Evidently, he's a king. And so he thinks if there's anyone powerful in Israel, it has to be another king. And so he sends to the king and he says, when my servant gets there, I want you to heal him. Now, Israel and Syria are at odds with one another. God has delivered Israel under the power of Syria. Remember, it was said that Naaman was a great leader of the military because the Lord gave him victories. Israel thinks Ben-Hadad's just looking for a fight. He just wants to find some reason to squash me. And so he is all in a turmoil and he responds. When the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me. Now, This king of Israel, his name is Jehoram, is not a godly man. We're going to find out, well, we're not going to find out because I'm not going to go that far into the story, but if you want to find out, in chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, he's so upset with Elisha, God's prophet, that he's ready to cut his head off. And he sends a soldier to Elisha's house to do just that. Why is he mad at Elisha? Because the things that he's prophesying are coming true. Israel is under siege. It's starving to death. And he says it's all Elisha's fault because he predicted it would happen. He knew it would happen. He caused it to happen. Go cut off his head. So he's not a very godly man. But in this particular instance, he understands that he's not God, which is good. It's always good when a king knows that he's not God. And he says, there's no way I can heal leprosy. In that sense, though, he does give credit where credit is due. He is saying, if anyone could do it, God could do it. I'm not him. God, meanwhile, is working behind the scenes, talking with Elisha. Verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came to his house with his horses and his chariots and halted at the door. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleaned? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now, Naaman is a leper, but he also is a man of standing. He is a leper, but he also expects to be treated with respect. And he has come to this poor prophet's house, Elisha's house, and Elisha has sent a messenger with the prescription. You ever come in that way, done that way by a doctor? You ever had a doctor's appointment you didn't even get to see? How would you feel? How do you feel? Maybe you and your doctor have a special relationship and he doesn't need to see you. I don't know. But usually when I make a doctor's appointment, I want to see the doctor, not be charged so much for the appointment and never seen face to face. Naaman has come all this way from Syria to see the prophet. Elisha doesn't even get out of his easy chair. Whatever it is he's sitting in the house. He sends his messenger down and he says to Naaman, would you be healed? This is what you need to do. And Naaman is so upset. He's got so many good reasons not to do what Elisha has said that he's ready to go back to Syria and remain a leper because he's a man of pride. What was the commandment? Elisha said, you want healed of your leprosy? This is what you do. You go down to the River Jordan and you dip 7 times in the River Jordan. The Jordan River is a dirty river. Lots of mud, lots of silt, lots of trash. Naaman says that river is so dirty it can't have any healing qualities whatsoever. What's wrong with Naaman's attitude? Naaman is not giving credit where credit is due. Naaman is saying there must be something special about the water, and I know the water's better where I'm from. Naaman ought to be especially thankful that he had servants with him that day. Who was the one that revealed to him that the power was in the prophet, the man of God? It was the little servant girl. Today, his servants once again come to his rescue. Verse 13, but his servants came near and said to him, my father, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean? The servants take Naaman aside and they say, wait a minute, master, before we go home and you're still a leper, think about it. He hasn't asked you to do something very difficult. What's it going to require of you, master, to go down to the River Jordan and dip in it, like he said, 7 times? If he had said that you need to build a temple, if he had said that you need to build a road, if he would have said that you need to conquer this nation, if he had said something great that you need to give over so much of your treasury, wouldn't you have done that if he had asked you to do some great thing? If he'd appealed to your pride, wouldn't you have done it? All he's asked you to do is to be humble. Go take a bath and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And Naaman came to his senses. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What do we see taking place in Naaman's life? He needed a doctor. He needed a physician. He trusted to the voice of his little maid, his servant. He sought help where she said to go, to the prophet of God. He eventually listened to what the prophet of God said, and he obeyed exactly what the prophet asked him to do. What do you think Naaman looked like as he came up out of the water after one dip? You think he was cleansed? 2? 3? 4? 5? 6? How did he look? We know. The 7th time he came up. Said that his skin was like the skin of a baby's. That's quite the doctor, isn't it? What if you found a doctor that could do that? Turn your skin back to the skin of a baby's. Naaman was cleansed. Naaman understands that it's not the water, but God. If we went through the rest of the story, we'd find Naaman trying to pay Elisha for this great deed that he did him, and Elisha refusing. We'd also find Elisha's servant Gehazi getting into trouble because he goes behind Elisha's back and gets Naaman to give him some of the gifts, and in the end, the leprosy is transferred from Naaman, the heathen, to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Do you follow your prescriptions religiously? When a doctor gives you a prescription, do you complete it? Do you take that medication every other hour or every 2 hours or every 6 or once a day? Some of us do, some of us don't. When you follow the prescription that the doctor has given to you, you show your trust in him as well as in the medication. It's important. Naaman listened to the man of God. He did exactly what he was commanded to do. He recognized that he was in need. And because he recognized that need and obeyed, he was healed. In the Bible, leprosy is often compared to sin. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. Offspring of evildoers, sons who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you be smitten that you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and bleeding wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, aliens devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown aliens. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom. Your ear to the teaching of our God, people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams or the fat of their beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. Look at those first few verses, chapter 4. A sinful nation. God understood that his people were in the wrong, that they were not following his commandments. He says in verse 4, last part, that they were utterly estranged from him. They were like a people, he said in verse 6, that were in need of medical attention and not accepting it. Now, I didn't say not receiving it. I said not accepting it. They had a doctor. They had a healer. His name was Jehovah. Because of their sin, they were in need of his services, but they were refusing to take the prescription. If you go ahead and read the rest of that, Isaiah chapter 1, he says in verse 16, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. In this description, in this prescription, we find the ailment. Their sin was in the way they treated their brother. They're not seeking justice. They're not being benevolent. They're not honoring one another as children of God. They are, in fact, taking advantage of each other. And so God says to them, here's what you need to do. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Anytime you get a cut, if you're smart, what do? You take care of it immediately. The longer you ignore it, the quicker the possibility is for an infection to set in. I've got Band-Aids in my pickup truck or in my blazer. I've got mycetration scattered here and yon because I'm a good cutter. I do things to myself all the time, not intentionally, but I come up with scrapes. I come by that honestly. That's what my dad would do. We'd be working on the tractor, and all of a sudden, he'd be bleeding. I'd say, Dad, you're cut. You're bleeding. He said, yeah. I said, how'd you do that? He said, I don't know. That happens to me all the time. I understand that if I don't take care of a cut, it's going to get infected. It's going to make it worse. Israel is ignoring what God is offering to them. God says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Learn to do justice. Cease to do evil. The prescription is simple. If Israel will return to the Lord, they'll be healed. He is the great physician. He is the one who has the power. When Jesus said, I eat with tax collectors and sinners because they are the ones who are sick. They are the ones who are lost. He understood that his message was for those who accepted their need of him. He wasn't saying, and you Pharisees, even though he implies that they are righteous. He wasn't saying, and you don't need me. He was saying, you don't realize you need. Until I know that I'm sick, I'll not seek the great physician. Naaman understood his leprosy and was exposed to the man of God. When Naaman got ready to leave, he said to Elisha, I'm going to be forced by my master to kneel at the altars of idols when I get back to Syria. He said, but I don't want to worship any other god but yours. Could I have two burrows with earth on their backs so that I might worship your God back in the land where I come from? Elisha said, yes, you may take the dirt back with you. And that seems like an odd request, doesn't it? Now, I've been to seashores and gathered up some sand. I've been down to rivers, gathered up a few rocks, but this seems kind of odd to carry back two donkey loads of dirt. What Naaman was saying is, I know your God is here, and I know his power is here, and I know that this locale belongs to him. And if I could carry back some of what you've got, literally, to where I am, then I'm carrying back a part of your God with me, and I can pour that dirt in a special place, and when I lay my body prostrate upon it, when I kneel there, I will have the power that's here at my disposal. Now, that was a limited view. Elisha could have said to Naaman, no, you can't have any dirt. That's stupid. You don't need any dirt. God's everywhere. He's not just in Israel. He's at Syria. He's the one that delivered us into your hand. But Elisha didn't get into a theological debate with Naaman. What Naaman had said to Elisha is, I have come to your God. I have been cleansed and I honor him. I worship him. I want to be his child. And Elisha said, fine, take the dirt. When man realizes that he is in need of God because of his sin, he comes to God, no matter what his background, and bows before him. And through the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and his gospel, we know that God doesn't want any man to perish, no matter where he is from. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Whenever Jesus said, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:15-16, it was the same voice of that little maiden of Naaman's that said, oh, but if he were just in Israel, just in Samaria, he could be healed. Jesus said, you want to be healed? Do you recognize that your sin has separated you from God? that the wages of sin is death. Would you come to me? Then my message is simple. Wash yourselves. How many times did Naaman dip? 7. Why? Because that's what Elisha said to do. Could God not have gotten it right on the first dip? 2nd, 3rd, or 4th? Sure, he could have. But what God was saying through Elisha to Naaman is, are you willing to follow the prescription? None of us expect that first pill that we take, that first little bit of antibiotic, to do the trick. We understand that it's pill after pill after pill, depending upon however many the doctor prescribed, he expects us to take every one. With Naaman, God expected him to obey. Elisha knew. That's why he didn't come out of the house. Elisha knew that Naaman was not going to be happy with the prescription. But he was testing Naaman's faith. It's such a simple thing. If God had asked us to cross the Atlantic and do a pilgrimage in Jerusalem sometime in our life in order to be saved, would we do it? He could have required it. If God would have said, I want you to build a certain edifice, I want you to give so much money, I want you to do this or that in order to be saved, would we do it? Certainly we would, because that's what God required of us. But the prescription is so simple. One dip in the watery grave. Through faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Peter said, for the remission of your sins. Paul said, and you shall be raised to walk a new life. A simple prescription. Now that water may not be the most pristine. It is warm. It may not have any healing powers, and I don't think it does in and of itself. It may at sometimes even be a little clouded. That's God's prescription. Not that this water is special, or any water is special, but the heart of faith, believing in Jesus Christ and being baptized in His blood, following His commandments, that man or woman is raised to walk a new life. Back to Isaiah chapter 1. Just a couple of three more verses in closing. God, in talking to His people, sounds like a physician sitting down and giving some difficult news to a patient. It wasn't easy for Jessica and Chris to realize that their little six-month-old was going to have to undergo surgery. She was going to have to be put out, and that there would be some risks involved in that. But her life was at stake. And so as the doctor sat with them and said, this is what I think is necessary, even though there was a little apprehension, there was relief. Ah, at least something's being done. We're not being told to wait. And they agree. Listen to God as He talks with His people. Verse 18, Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The doctor sits down with his patients and he says, listen, I've got the cure. I don't care how bad off you are. I don't care how sin has eaten into you eternally, what kind of cancer it may appear to be, whether it be leprosy that your flesh is wasting away. Though everything looks so terrible, understand this. What I'm offering you right now at this moment is cleansing, is healing. Listen to me. Let's reason together. If you are willing and obedient, verse 19, you shall eat the good of the land. But there's this caveat. And a doctor might say this to a patient, but if you refuse, just like that doctor said to Chris and Jessica, if this is left alone, it's going to get worse. And her little body is just not going to be able to withstand a rupture of that lymph gland. Once it swells to a certain point and it explodes and that infection runs rapidly through her little veins, she's gone. Was that heartless of that doctor to say such a thing? They had to understand the magnitude, didn't they, of the danger. God says, but if you refuse and rebel, in other words, if you don't take my prescription, if you don't listen to what I'm telling you, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't wash yourselves and be clean, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The consequence is inevitable. Naaman could have said to his servants, I don't care. Rivers are purer. Back in Syria. I'm not dipping in that filthy water. And what would Naaman have been for the rest of his life? A leper. because he had faith, because he listened to the doctor, because he obeyed, he was cleansed. It's a simple concept. Are you in need of a physician? Have you had your sins washed away? Have you come to him who has come to heal and to cleanse? I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. If you've not yet come to him, won't you now as we stand and as we sing?